What if the city of New Orleans came back, say 5 years from now, better than it was before Hurricane Katrina? What if the city were able to use its brush with death like a dying man who gets a second chance? Well, New Orleans was drowning before the storm. Bad schools, crumbling housing, dysfunctional criminal justice, casual corruption. Today, nearly a year after the storm, there are many people who believe that New Orleans can and must return as a more livable city. NPR's John Burnett reports on their efforts to reinvent their city.
Let's start where New Orleanians begin their day, in a noisy cafe over a plate of food with way too much butter and fat.
Call for bacon, call for grits.
As horrific as the storm was, a lot of people believe that Katrina can be an agent for change, that this is the city's last chance to save itself. Wayne Baquet is owner of Little Dizzy's Cafe on Esplanade Avenue.
So we've got a chance to start all over. If we screw this up this time, it's only our own fault. I think this is a tremendously unique opportunity to change the way we do business in this city.
Everybody's heard how bad it was before the storm. The murder rate was one of the highest in the nation, and the public school system was one of the lowest performing. Nearly 30% of the city lived below the poverty line. Sprawling public housing complexes were hubs of drugs and hopelessness. The public health care system was in decay, as was the sewage and water network. And then came the tempest. Michael Cowan, a theology professor at Loyola University, heads up a new organization called Common Good that seeks to give a voice to civic-spirited nonprofits.
Every aspect of life in the city has been disrupted by the storm and needs to be put back together again, as it should be, not as it was.
Pick just one area, criminal justice. A pre-storm study by the Metropolitan Crime Commission confirmed what people already knew, that New Orleans criminal district courts fail to put violent and habitual offenders behind bars. They're back on the streets in no time. Mayor Ray Nagin has appointed former Louisiana Attorney General Richard Ayoub to help rebuild and recreate the dysfunctional court system.
Unless we have a criminal justice system that functions as effectively and efficiently as possible, we're not going to be able to have any type of recovery, economic, social, or otherwise, because businesses won't want to move here, families won't want to repopulate New Orleans, tourists won't come to New Orleans.
In short, if the powers that be don't reconstruct the city's infrastructure and institutions better than they were before, then a lot of people think New Orleans is doomed. Enter the optimists.
To me, it's an exciting time to be in New Orleans because no other major city that I know of in the United States in well over 100 years has the opportunities to redo themselves, to reinvent themselves the way New Orleans has.
Tulane University President Scott Cowan, no relation to Michael Cowan, is one who stepped forward as a community leader after the storm. He points to the billions of dollars in federal aid that will pour into the city.
We're going to have the money to do it. Money's not going to be the issue. The issue is do we have the will, the determination, the focus to do it?
What follows are snapshots of three insurgents fighting to overturn the old order. The Samuel J. Green School in the Ferret neighborhood was until recently a Dickensian building whose classrooms were condemned by the health department and whose campus had all the warmth of a supermax prison. After the state took over the disastrous New Orleans school system, before Katrina, schools like Green were put up for adoption, like orphans. Tony Rakasner, an experienced school reformer, reopened Green as a nonprofit charter school 2 weeks before Katrina hit. But he expected it to be a long road of fundraising to make the school first class. The lanky principal with the wide grin sits in the school's gleaming cafeteria.
What happened post-Katrina, because of the level of interest in New Orleans and because of the level of interest of personal citizens across the country, we are already 2 to 3 years ahead of schedule in that I couldn't imagine a school that served little kids that didn't have a playground. And yet we did not have the means to do that. And a playground exists.
So the tragedy of Hurricane Katrina has been a blessing in disguise for this school.
It has been.
Donors have given not just a spiffy new playground, but lighting, textbooks, kitchen equipment, and landscaping. Most exciting, Alice Waters, the famous organic chef, is donating an edible garden to teach students at Green how to grow their own food. Rakasner stands on the front steps, looking out at the shotgun houses surrounding his old brick schoolhouse.
And so now all of the kids in the neighborhood are going to be coming to this school, which did not happen. this school, which did not serve this community well in the past, is now really going to be a beacon of light in this community.
From Green School, go down Valence Street, take a ride on St. Charles Avenue, and head up toward the Brahmin Mansions of Uptown. There you'll find the home of Ruthie Frierson, real estate broker, wife of a past king of carnival, and founder of Citizens for One Greater New Orleans. Their battle is to consolidate the 8 separate levee boards in southeast Louisiana. These are appointed government bodies that are supposed to ensure the structural integrity of the levees, but they're better known for other far-flung interests.
For example, in Orleans Parish, they were involved with a marina, they were involved with a casino, they were involved with a police force, they also, an airport. And the different 8 boards were competing, really, for money and influence.
After the levees burst during Katrina, outraged citizens demanded professional levee boards, no more politics and patronage. Hundreds of volunteers gathered 53,000 signatures on petitions, marched on the state legislature, and lobbied for change.
Sometimes they would come to the house and ring the bell and hand me a signed petition, one name, the power of one citizen voice. It just constantly brought tears to our eyes.
Next month, for the first time, the citizens of Louisiana will be able to vote on whether to consolidate the levee boards. The group's next battle is to consolidate New Orleans' 7 tax assessor districts, whose property assessors are known to lower property valuations for a pair of tickets to a Saints game. Once again, after Katrina, nothing is the same, says Frierson, sitting at the table in her elegant dining room.
There's a new sense of citizenship. You know, we're reaching out to each other like never before.
They say this mutual support that has emerged after the storm crosses racial lines. This in a city where race seems to polarize and paralyze many public debates. Despite the mayor's comment that New Orleans will always be a, quote, chocolate city, there are hopeful signs that the black-white divide may be blurring, if only slightly. The black congregation of Living Witness Church of God in Christ in Central City and the white congregation of Trinity Episcopal Church in the Garden District are collaborating to build housing for inner-city Katrina victims. Called the Jericho Road Project, it is a first for both churches. Pastor John Pierre of Living Witness makes essentially the same observation that Ruthie Frierson did.
Anytime you're faced with any type of disaster like this, just the same case with war, it tends to make people hard, soft, and make them bound together. And I think this is what has happened here with Katrina. Make people want to just come together and help one another, because we see that we all are vulnerable.
5 years from now, when Katrina is not the only thing on the front page of the newspaper day after day, it's anyone's guess how much of New Orleans will be reinvented. Will the levees be higher, the sewage system replaced, the courts revamped, the schools higher performing? Will the members of Trinity Episcopal and Living Witness be visiting each other's Sunday morning services? With their shattered city barely on its feet today, most of the people interviewed for this report are afraid to look too far into the future. In terms of expectations, there's only one hope, and they say it does not reside with the administration of the recently reelected mayor.
Government has failed us. It failed us before the storm, it failed us during a storm, and in many ways it's going to fail us after the storm.
Kenneth Ferdinand is well known in New Orleans. As a teenager, he helped integrate high schools and department stores. As a businessman, he owns a popular coffee shop where this interview took place.
Having gone through Betsy, it was just us in the Lower Nine during 65, during Betsy. And I know what it takes of your gut and of your heart and your soul to rebuild your house from scratch. Now, we've got people of all economic strata doing that. So I see a lot of hope in people who want to come back, go through the muck and mire, and rebuild their homes and stay in New Orleans.
Perhaps it's time to bury the civic sobriquet about the Big Easy. Nothing about rebuilding New Orleans is easy. For the strength to accomplish that, the citizens of the city are turning to each other. John Burnett, NPR News, New Orleans.
Thank you.